greet you this morning in the name of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I had thought the next time I preach, I had something burning on my heart that I would look at and study for. It seemed like the Lord was giving me direction. And by the way, before I forget it, I just want to wish our mothers a happy Mother's Day. Anyway, I thought I had the message subject that I would preach this morning. But with the events of the past few weeks, it felt like the Lord kind of changed directions a little bit. And I feel we need to be sensitive to that call. After all, He's in charge. And so, as we consider some of the things that have impacted us in the last weeks, I speak from that. We sang this morning, "Let sorrow do its work. Send grief and pain. Sweet are thy messengers, sweet their refrain. When they can sing with me, more love, O Christ, to thee." Brother Glenn talked about the need for each other in the church and how God has put us together in the body of Christ. And he being the head, some of you know my little journey of pain a few months ago when at work I deliberately, in a sense, cut the end of my finger off. It was an accident. But pain, physical pain, and a journey of realizing that I value every part of my body. And so I appreciated that reminder, Brother Glenn, this morning. Thank you for being faithful and just drawing our attention to that. I've entitled the message simply "The Call." The recent death of a young man in our community has me asking a lot of questions, personally. What are my priorities in life? Am I hearing and following the call? Is my life a living testament to Jesus' resurrection? And am I truly believing in the only hope of life beyond the grave? Not just a one-time event, but a daily experience of walking with God. And many other questions that these kind of things bring to the forefront of our mind. It is a reminder that death is an enemy. Death is not our friend. Death is cruel. Death has no respect of persons. Death is ugly. Undertakers undertake the task of making death look presentable, but it fails to mask the harsh truth that death is the paycheck for our sin, and none of us are exempt. You know, we as man attempt to find solutions in other things. Other alternatives for this problem of death. The prophet Isaiah spoke to the rulers of Jerusalem in his day, and here are the words he spoke. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. I like the Amplified for that last part. He who believes, trusts in, relies on, and adheres to that stone will not be ashamed or give way or make haste in sudden panic. The contemporary English version says, will not be disappointed. Of all things in life, we certainly don't want to waste our lives and be disappointed at the end. These things speak to me personally, and I believe it's God's intent. I watched with some interest in the last few weeks the mission around the moon. I don't know if you take an interest in space, the space exploration or not. And I'm not sure exactly what the intent of these things are. We can assume on that. Maybe it's to hopefully find some solutions to some of humans' problems. At any rate, whether we believe it, they actually do it, or whether it's a simulation in some movie theater or something that they do this, I'm not here to say, or I'm not even here to judge what all of that. But what I find fascinating about the whole thing is the silence that happens when these four human people are inside this capsule and they re-enter the Earth's atmosphere. I believe it is, if I'm correct on this, I think it's 6 agonizing minutes of sheer terror while everyone watches as they are engulfed in flames and heat, said to be half the temperature of the surface of the sun. Can you imagine being inside there and being hanging in the balance of this tedious natural phenomenon and realizing that your life is that close to this thing we call death? We take a lot of risks in our attempts to break maybe some of the bounds that God set, that the Apostle Paul said to the people in Athens. God has set the bounds for humanity of where to live on the face of the earth, and he's set the boundaries in place. And sometimes we as humans pat ourselves on the back when we push through those boundaries and say, we did it, you know? But we still reckon with this thing of death. And NASA, as they watch this time, they're silent. because they know the fragility of human life. And there have been some lost, many, in this effort. This is a foe we will not defeat. But we have hope. We have a call from the one who holds the key. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 19, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things he doeth, these also doth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of God, of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." What will matter most in that day? Jesus gives a call to believe on him that sent him. And those who believe will experience life and overcome death. But you know, as I think about this, there is something absolutely more terrifying than death. And I don't recall that I've heard a lot of messages on this. But there is a second death. And that second death is even more terrifying than the first. Physical death is something that we experience and is no respecter of persons, as I said in the beginning. It even makes so that we drive on the right side of the road. We respect it. But this second death is something we need to look at and remind ourselves that it is a reality. Revelations 21:8 speaks about this, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Revelation 20, verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now Hebrews brings out the fact that Jesus came, he lived and died and experienced death for us, that we would be delivered from the fear of death. Those who are under this curse of death now have a solution, the only solution, the only provision for life beyond the grave. And yet this second death is something that seems greater than the death of physical life. And Jesus said in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. I believe Jesus is going to be the one, as we heard this morning, who makes the judgment, the call on our lives in the final end. Knowing all this, why am I saying this? I guess I'm asking the question, what should the highest priority in our lives be? And to be reminded of that. First, the answer to that question to myself is to heed the call and believe on Jesus Christ, the only hope. And then secondly, to follow the call and example of the Master. We speak nobly of being the hands and feet of Jesus. In fact, I think that's one of our mission statements. And the thought is that we serve our fellow men with the purpose of drawing them to Christ by our good works. And I don't think that's wrong. I think that's proper, especially with what we heard this morning. Our seeing needs around us and ministering to those needs in the ways that God calls us, even in small ways, even in being an usher. However, I ask myself the question, do hands and feet have a mouth? Do they have a voice? Do they have a tongue and ears and eyes and a heart and a mind? Would it not be more complete to think of being the body of Christ to those around us rather than just the hands and feet? It brings a little more perspective to our whole bodies being a living sacrifice, to being what God calls us to be. And then I ask myself the question, as I look through the Gospels and read the accounts of how Jesus spent most of his time in earthly ministry. Yes, it was, we sing the little song, Jesus went about doing good, the Bible tells me so. But was his mission just to fill men's stomachs and to make them feel well again physically? His call was to prepare lives for the kingdom of heaven. And so I believe, and I see that his efforts was mostly to teach and to preach the gospel. The gospel message, the hope that Jesus is the only way to overcome and to have true life. John 6, verse 25. Listen to Jesus and his response to his followers. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Then he makes this statement, Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Jesus' last call to his disciples. Matthew records And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That was Matthew's rendition. Mark records just a little bit different. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. We hear the call that the Lord has for us. Sometimes we get distracted with this about the signs here, rather than the emphasis that he puts on the fact that we are to go and to preach, and in Matthew, to teach, preaching and teaching the gospel. And his promise is with us, I am with you always. The question to me this morning is, am I hearing that call and walking with the Master daily in what he's calling me to do? Now, I'd like to shift just a little bit in focus and bless those who have influenced and are influencing your offspring to hear the call. And I'd like to think about three godly mothers of the Scripture that have directed their offspring to hear the call and the purpose of God in their lives. The first was, I was reminded last Sunday evening when Brother Simon and his wife did the little children's lesson about Samuel. They didn't spend a lot of time on that, on what preparation there was in Samuel's life. But I was blessed with the thought that somewhere there were seeds of something planted in this young life as a boy, as a very young boy, to hear the call, to obey the call. And how beautiful. A woman who had a vision. She saw a need. I'm sure with having gone to the tabernacle year after year with a barren womb and seeing the corruption that was happening at the tabernacle. And then also, could it be that she thought, Lord, could you use me to fill a specific need of that call? And she asked the Lord to meet her own need so she could also give back to the Lord to fulfill a need that was being a lack in the ministry. And we know the story. She gave her firstborn to the Lord. Eli's sons were taking the first for themselves. They were being selfish. They were corrupting the ministry to the Lord. And what a terrible testimony. But here was a woman who had determined to give her first to the Lord and had determined in faithfulness to teach him to heed the call. I think that's so beautiful. It shows the mother's influence on a young life in directing his way, and to hear that call, to be sensitive to the word of the Lord. And we know the impact and see the impact in the story of Samuel and the people of Israel. Another I would like to draw attention to is the mother of Jesus. First of all, she embraced the call to surrender her own life and then to surrender her son to the call and work of his heavenly Father. She was also faithful in calling Jesus to his first miracle. She saw a need, and she was faithful until even after Pentecost. A third illustration in Scripture is the testimony of Lois, a grandmother. And some of you are grandmothers here. Some of you are great-grandmothers. And we want to bless you. And then a mother, Eunice, which had the testimony of passing down the faith to her young son. A mother prepared the young heart of her son to hear and respond to the call of God through the church to the ministry in Timothy. Timothy responded to that by saying, "Yes, Lord." Even though I think the epistle would bring out that he may have struggled with that call in being a little timid, but he was faithful. What a blessing. Mothers preparing their children to respond to the call. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I don't know, it doesn't really draw attention, or it doesn't say there. We have some information about the fathers here. But I think I just wanted to highlight the beauty of the influence of a godly mother on young men, willing to serve the Lord. And I was just blessed with the output of that in our school program this past Thursday evening, of the fact of walking with God and just the enthusiasm of the young lives giving their best in that. I just want to bless you and thank you, mothers, for doing that. And I just want to honor you this morning. And continue and encourage those with young children to be faithful in this calling that God has placed on your life. May we be faithful in whatever God is specifically calling us to, even in the very unseen things, the small things that we are doing, that we are faithful in heeding that call. Because what we intend to do is, first of all, believe walking with the one who will eventually, we will stand before and give account for our lives. And then also call others to hear that call in a faithful way and respond to that call before the crisis of death. Thank you for your attention. I would invite those of you who can to kneel as we pray.